And when he became a full-grown adult, near 30 years of age, he selected 12 men to pour his heart into, that these men walked with him, they sat under his ministry, they trained under him, and that when he got ready to leave, he turned it over to them, and he said, "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. What you told me to do, I have done."
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Finishing God's Work. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Finishing God's Work.
What is your assignment? I have a heart to see women build up in the faith. What is your assignment? I have a heart to see children grow up and love the Lord. What is your assignment? I have a desire to see the seniors be ministered to and have activity. What is your assignment? And if you can't answer that question, then maybe you need to get before the Lord and you need to seek him. And you need to see what it is that he has for you to do. Because wouldn't it be a shame for you to live your whole life and miss the assignment that God has given to you? You know, I think about this story that I heard about this guy who was called to put a roof on somebody's house. And he came to the house and, you know, he looked at his address on his papers and saw the house and looked, and there was some vicious dogs in the yard. But he knew that he had to put this roof. So he went in there and tried to, you know, calm the dogs down, and they were barking and they were growling. And he tried to go in and they were jumping at him. And so eventually he was able to throw some something, and the dogs chased it, and he hurried up and he put the ladder against the house, and he climbed up the ladder and he got to the top and he found out that it had a brand new roof on it. He had gone through all that trouble and put his ladder against the wrong house. You know, there's a lot of people that they're pursuing the wrong things. They're putting their ladder against the wrong things. You don't know what your assignment is, so you're putting your ladder against all these other things. You're putting your ladder against all these other houses, and they're the wrong house. And God would have us to do what he would have us to do. And as I said before, you know, your job, because some people can get that confused, your job is not your assignment. That's not your assignment. You know, maybe, you know, I had somebody that came to me and they said, "Pastor, I got a heart for ministering to people in this community who are victims of violence." Hey, that's your assignment. That's your assignment. And I would hope to God that Jesus Christ could be our example, and we could see that he had an assignment, and that every person here at Bethany Baptist Church would understand their assignment, and that when they came to the end of their life, that they can say the same thing that Jesus did: "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do." As I think about somebody who understood his assignment and finished his assignment, let me give you some motivation from the Apostle Paul. Because Paul understood his assignment and Paul completed his assignment. In 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And in 2 Timothy, Paul was on death row. He's about, according to tradition, to be beheaded. And as he's waiting there on death row, he says, "I have fought the good fight." Paul was sitting in his rocking chair. And Paul looked back at his life. And as Paul rocked in his rocking chair, he said, "Lord, I understood my assignment, and I finished the work that you have given me to do." Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this in verse 6. for I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. Does this sound like a guy that knows he's come to the end of his life? And you know, really the fact of the matter is that none of us know how many days that we have left on this earth. So really, I mean, we could almost take this philosophy in our life and take it throughout the rest of this life. But he says, I'm ready to be offered up. What does that mean? I'm ready to die. And I know I'm going to die. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. This word departure, it speaks of a ship sitting in a harbor and that's waiting for the last visitor or guest or sailor to get aboard. And then they're going to loose the rope and sail off to sea. Paul said, my ship is getting ready to sail. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. Paul was able to finish his assignment. There's a poem that I love, and I've tried to memorize it, and at one time I did memorize it, but, you know, just like my eyes, my mind is starting to fail me a little bit. But the poem goes something like this. So live that when your summons comes to join the innumerable caravan which moves to that mysterious realm where each shall take his chamber in the silent halls of death, that you go not like the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust approach thy grave, like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. Oh, I tell you what, isn't that a powerful concept? That you live your life in such a way, when you come to that last moment, when you come to the end, that it's just like you take your sheet or your cover and you pull it over your shoulder and you lie down and you go to sleep. These last couple days for me have really been hard. I flew up to New York on Friday, and as soon as I got there, I started teaching. You know, I flew in, and then we had another hour or so ride to get to the center where I was speaking, and I spoke all evening Friday. Yesterday, I spoke all day yesterday, got to the airport, flew back here, got in after 9 o'clock last night. My brothers and sisters, believe me, when I laid down last night, that I pulled that cover over my shoulder and I went down like a little baby going to sleep. Oh man, it was so refreshing. It was so good. And that's what Paul says. Paul says that we ought to live our lives like that. Like the way I came and laid down in that bed last night and didn't really have too much of a care in the world. The only thing that I wanted to do was just lay down and rest. And Paul says that when we come to the end of our lives, that we ought to be able to just lie down and in all confidence just fall asleep, because we know that we have committed or finished the work that God has given us to do. How about you? When you come to the end of your life, like Jesus Christ on the cross, will you be able to say that I have finished the work that you have given me to do? Will you be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, I have finished the course? Will you be able to say, like William Cullen Bryant, that I can lay down to pleasant dreams? There was a man by the name of William Borden, and he was heir to the Borden estate in Chicago, very wealthy estate, and had all type of financial resources and investments, and had a big bank account, and God challenged his heart. And instead of him following the family business, he decided that he wanted to be a missionary and that he wanted to go to school and train to be a missionary. And as he went to be a missionary and as he finished, his parents gave him a trip around the world for graduation. And he went around the world and he saw China and he saw Africa and he saw all these places. And God just began to burden his heart more about for the world. And he left his parents' estate to go be a missionary. And in his Bible, he wrote these words, "No reserves. No reserves. I've given everything for this assignment that I have. No reserves." And then as he began to travel, people began to contact him and ask him to come back to the States and do this and do that. And he didn't come back because he knew that this is what God wanted him to do. And he wrote, under no reserves, he wrote, "No return." And the brother was going to China, and he stopped in Africa on the way to China. And he contracted spinal meningitis, and he died. And somebody wrote, "What a waste of a life. He had all this ahead of him, and he gave it all up." And they shipped the stuff back to the States. And under the words, "No reserves," and under the words, "No return," he wrote, "No regrets." No regrets. And can we approach the end of our lives knowing that we're coming to the end and have no reserves, no return, and no regrets? I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." I have fought a good fight. This word "fight" comes from the Greek word agonizomai, and it means to agonize. He said that I have agonized a great agony. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was in trouble in the country. He was in trouble in the water. He was in trouble on land. He was rejected by his own brother. He had all kind of problems in his life. And he said that when I finished, I didn't have anything left. I gave it all for the Lord. When I was coaching football, one of the things that we would tell the players, we would tell the athletes, that when the zeros are on the clock, that when there's all zeros on the clock and the final score is on the clock, that there's nothing you can do to go back and change the score. Absolutely nothing. And before the game, we would tell each and every man, leave it on the field. Leave it on the field. Let me ask you, my brothers and sisters, are you leaving it on the field? Are you serving the Lord with all your heart? Are you giving God everything that you got? See, when you come to that rocking chair philosophy, when you come to the end of your life, that you should be able to look back and say, "Lord, I didn't have a lot to give, but what I had to give, I gave it all. I gave it all. No reserves. I left it on the field. And even though I might come up a little bit short, I left it on the field. Lord, I gave you everything that I had." Yeah, I think this week, and I was telling the brothers that I was doing this retreat for, I said, "Man, I love to teach the Word of God." I said that when you guys asked me to come and you wanted me, I said, "Man, I was fired up. This is what I love doing. I love teaching and I love preaching." And I said, "Man, even though I'm tired, by yesterday afternoon, my voice, it was getting harder to talk. And you know how sometimes you get to start, even sometimes the people that are there, they start, doing one of the, but I was still fired up, man. But my voice was leaving me. I was getting tired, but you're still fired up because you want to give God your best and give him your all. No reserves. He also says here, no return. Paul says, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." There's no return. The sad thing about the Christian faith is that we have too many quitters. Too many quitters. People will quit on God, and before they quit on anything else. And God is calling us that once we have put our hand to the plow, that we don't look back. That we keep pressing ahead, that we don't turn around and that we don't look back, but we keep moving ahead and that we don't return. You know, there was an evangelist who was getting ready to quit, and he went to his friend and he told his friend that, "I'm getting ready to quit." He said, "The people are giving me a hard time, I'm being rejected, and I just can't do this anymore." And one of his friends asked him, "Who called you?" And he said, "God called me." He said, "Well, let's sit down. You tell God that you're going to quit. You tell God that you're not going to do what he called you to do anymore. You tell God that you're getting ready to give up on the dream and the goal and the aspiration that he put in your spirit. You tell God that you're getting ready to quit." And the man said, "I can't do that." And the story goes that he left there with new zeal and enthusiasm. And he went and he ran the race that God had him to run. No return. No return. My brothers and sisters, it gets hard. And sometimes we want to quit. But we got to find a way to keep on keeping on. When it seems like you don't have that desire to go on anymore, but when you know that God has called you. Father, if it be possible to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Father, these people are giving me a hard time, and I'm trying to serve you, and I'm trying to do your will, and it seems like it's getting harder. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Father, it seems like I've lost all my friends since I became a Christian, and I'm in this thing by myself. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Father, it seems like the harder I try to be faithful to you and to live this life, the more resistance that I get. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And that Jesus was able to say, because he gave it all, no reserves, because he didn't return. And he, you know, I'm sure that it was very tempting for him to just say, "Okay, well, you know what? The Bible says I came to my own and my own received me not. That I've got rejected, I've got ridiculed, I've got opposed. You know what? Forget it. Forget it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." There was, in the 1968 Olympics, a runner from Tanzania was running in the marathon. And as he was running, he fell down about halfway through and got all scraped up and bruised and was bleeding. And many of the runners finished way ahead of him. And probably a couple hours after the last person finished, he came across the finish line. And somebody asked him the question, you know, "Why didn't you just stop? Why didn't you just quit?" And he replied, "My country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." God didn't send you to start the race. He sent you to finish the race. Father, I have glorified thee, and I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And then look at the last thing Paul says. He says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." No regrets. That in that final day, when you stand before the Lord, will you have any regrets? That in that last day, when you stand before God, will you stand before him with regrets? Jesus had no regrets. He finished the work that God gave him to do. Train disciples and die on the cross. He finished the work. Paul had no regrets. He understood his assignment. And he did what God told him to do. He had no regrets. How about you? Will you have regrets? I remember what Dave Dawson said when he was here. He said that a motivation for people to disciple should be when we realize that we have to stand before God one day and give an account of our lives. And that if we take that seriously, if we take seriously the fact that we're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account of what we have done. As a matter of fact, turn to 2 Corinthians, and I'll close with this scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 10. And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the things he hath done, whether it be good or whether it's bad." So as Christians, we will stand before God and we will give an account of our lives. And the sad thing is that, as Brother Dawson pointed out, that, you know, even though we'll be saved and we'll be excited about our salvation, that there will be some there that will have regrets. And I heard somebody give this illustration, and it helped me understand it. And it talked about graduation. That at a graduation service, everybody that's graduating is happy. Everybody's happy because you're graduating. So everybody will be happy because they'll be in heaven. But as I heard somebody say, there are some that graduate magna cum laude, and there are some that graduate summa cum laude, and there are some that graduate oh my laude. I guess the ones that graduate oh my laude. You know, but can you imagine that if you were one that graduated magna cum laude or summa cum laude, and just to be able to look back and say, you know, over those 4 years that I gave the best that I could, and that I this is what I achieved, you know, high honors, and you walk up there and you get that degree. And that same person that didn't graduate with the honors and the degrees will still be happy. They'll, because they're graduating. But they don't maybe have that recognition that that person that got the degrees. Because when we get to heaven, we will be recognized for our service down here. Make no bones about it. And Brother Dawson, if you were here, he went through the rewards that we will get for our service down here. So we will be rewarded in heaven for our service down here. And you know what? I would hate to think that I'm going to miss something in heaven, that if I'd have just been a little bit more faithful, that if I'd have just been a little more committed, that when I get to heaven, you know, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I want all that God has for me. I don't want to come up short. I don't want to be in heaven, and I don't want to get there and God say, look, you know, like the story that I heard about this guy that they took him to heaven and they began to show him all these rooms. And he said, well, what are these rooms? And St. Peter said, these rooms are filled with all the things that God had for his people, but they never received them because they didn't do what God wanted them to do. And I would hate to see a room with my name on it, Pastor Glaze. It'd be filled with a bunch of gifts. And God to tell me, look, Bill, here's all the things that I had for you had you been a little more faithful. Charles Stanley said that we should do all that we can now so that we have no regrets when we stand before God. He said, and I like the way Stanley said it. He said, when you stand before God, you can't go back and say, I wish I would have did this, and I wish I would have did that. It's too late then. Do it now. Jesus said, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Finishing God's work.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of O Love That Will Not Let Go. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Finishing God's Work, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Finishing God's Work. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Finishing God's Work. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.